Good morning. Amen. Amen. I pray that the joy of the Lord is still your strength. And amen. That's right. Amen. So it's just good to be in the house one more time. And we dare not take for granted his goodness and his mercy. With all heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. You've been amazingly kind to us. Thank you for your grace has sustained us, your mercy. Thank you for your precious promises. Thank you for how you have kept us. We're grateful that we're about to step into 2020. So many things have happened, but yet you have been so kind and good to us. And to that we say thank you. Lord, we pray for that person here today who does not know you in the free pardon of their sin. We pray, Lord, that you would prick their heart, that this might be the day of decision, that they might yield unto you and confess you as Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth, it will fall on fertile soil, that you would have your way. Stand up in this thy servant. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. 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 Good morning. What a joy it is to once again come before you, and God be praised for that. Love. Some of the preachers, we look at each other and say, oh boy, that is so vast, and there's so much you could say about love. I only have about 30 minutes, and you trying to get to the game, so I know what I'm dealing with. Amen. Oh, you're going to push the preacher. That's right. The more amens, the faster I get out of your way, so we can make this real easy if you want. It really depends upon you, so... What? No, 1 o'clock, right, okay. Listen, I want to approach this whole thing of love from a slightly different way. I was convicted by a familiar story that you've heard in Luke, the Good Samaritan. Because when you unpack it, it has so much to teach us about love. About love vertical and horizontal. And we can do this piece pretty good. Loving God, how are you not going to love him? But it's the horizontal piece that we struggle with. Anybody struggle with the heart, loving your neighbor? Am I the only one? I mean, is it some folk that you really have some hard issues? It's EGR, extra grace required, when you deal with them, because they just get under your skin. And listen, they caught you at a good time in your walk, because if they caught you maybe 5 years ago, you would have had a different response. You'd have got something and went upside their head and not even thought anything of it. But now, since you saved and you know Jesus and you're on your way to heaven anyhow, he's saying you have to learn how to love folks horizontally. So as I looked at that, I said, you know, I titled this A Call to Radical Love. A Call to Radical Love. And because Jesus says something here that I kind of skimmed over, when you look at verse 37, it says at the very end, then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. That convicted me right there. Regardless of how you may feel, he's saying, I want you to learn to love in such a way that even when it's uncomfortable, even when you don't feel like it, you have to learn to love anyway. Agape love. The highest level of love that there is. Not storge, which is a love between a friend or family, actually, not brotherly love, not eros, but agape. And that's the love that he's looking for those of us who claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So what can we learn from this rather interesting story that many of us are familiar with? The Good Samaritan. Well, let me start here. On June the 6th, 2017, there was a young lady who did something that was rather amazing, and it caught the attention of thousands. Her name was Casey Spellman. Casey Spellman is a 26-year-old from Indianapolis. Her and some friends decided to go to a baseball game at Wrigley Field in Chicago. The Cubs were playing the Cardinals. The game had ended, and scores of people made their way out of Wrigley Field. They went to Wrigleyville, where there's all kinds of after-game activities and food and drink and fun. And while she was there with her friends, she saw a young man by the name of Yusef Dale. Yusef Dale is a rather tall and imposing man. He had on a white Cubs shirt and some blue jeans, white tennis shoes, and he also had a long white cane. Yusef Dale was trying to get a cab. Brother having a hard time getting a cab. A man that large with a white cane was invisible to scores of people. Trying to get a cab, blind, tall, imposing. After a while, Casey looked, and she looked, and then she approached him and said these simple words. Can I help you? And he said, yes, I've been trying to get some help. And she took him by the hand and she put it around her arm. And she guided him near the curb where they could stand in such a way that a cab would be able to see and help them. And not long after that, sure enough, she was able to help him secure a cab so that he could get to where he was going. What Casey did not know, nor Yusef, is that Ryan Hamilton, also from Indianapolis, was on a nearby rooftop. And he was watching this whole episode play out. He said, my goodness, what kindness. And he posted it, and the thing went viral. Scores and scores of people saw this whole transaction take place. Simply because there was a young woman who decided to pull away from her friends and give assistance to someone who was in distress. It seems like a rather innocent story, but the fact that it regained so much attention tells us that there seems to be a shortage of extending that kind of love when we see someone in a difficult and stressful situation. Casey Spellman said this. It was rather interesting. She said, you know, I had no idea that folks were recording this, that I didn't do this for that purpose. I was just trying to extend a helping hand to someone who was in distress. But guess what she said? She said, but I'm glad, and I'm glad a lot of folks saw it because maybe it will take folks out of their comfort zone. Ah, that was it right there. That in the process of helping someone, hopefully someone else would be moved in such a way that they too would be willing to help somebody who was in distress. It does not always have to be that large and magnanimous and that attention-grabbing, but the idea that I pull away and slowly begin to extend myself to someone who is hurting is looking more and more like Jesus Christ. And that is what he wants for those of us who claim him as Lord and Savior. There ought to be some evidence sometimes that you believe him, that you love him, and that you want to follow his precepts. Can I get an amen? Come on now, we're going to go somewhere this morning. I'm feeling this thing early. Come on with me. Like I told you, the more amens, the faster we get out of here. Amen. Amen. Casey teaches us something just as the Good Samaritan. What are you going to do with your love this Advent season? It's nice that the Lord loved me and I love the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It is. But beloved, that's not all he's looking for. He wants more than just us loving him. He wants us to be able to love our brother and sister horizontally. Let's look at this for a minute, and we'll move on. What is it that Casey and the Good Samaritan teach us? How can they help us in our efforts to be more loving to one another? Because, see, Christmas is only going to last a couple days. And then after that, it's like, okay, now what? Well, this is what? This is what? A call to radical love. That's what he's after. Anyone can feel good about him for a couple days and give gifts. We got that part. But Lord, I want more. I don't want 2020 to be like 2019 where I do the same thing. I'm looking for you to move in a new and exciting way, and I want to be open to some radical love that you have showered and lavished upon me and that you expect me in return to give to others. Number one, focus your eyes on the wounded people around you. Look at what he says. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who were stripped him of his clothing. They wounded him. They left him for dead. The Levite saw him and didn't do nothing. The priest saw him. He went on the other side of the street. That's not what he's looking for those of us who claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We would do well, beloved, to consider and look at those wounded people who are closest to us. Okay, that's not, all right, let me try this out. All of us know what being wounded is about. You get wounded by church folk. You get wounded by your children, wounded by your spouse, wounded in your community, wounded in the workplace. Wounds are everywhere that we deal with. And so often there are folks who could use what we have by way of an introduction or allowing them to see the light in us that may help them deal with the wounded situation that they are in. Do you think it is an accident that God has you where you are at this particular time or season in your life? He's very purposeful. He does not act haphazardly. He's always moving in such a way that I have you here. Keep your eyes open. You are my ambassador. You are my hands. You are my eyes. You are my feet. I want to work through you, but you got to keep your eyes open. Scripture talks about they had eyes, but they did not see, ears, but they did not hear. That's not the group I don't want to be part of. I want to be part of the group whose eyes are open and looking for opportunities to make our Lord look good by him working through us. Philippians says, second chapter, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. The Levite and the priest, they looked over, looked in, and kept going. Now listen, I can't be too hard on them. I can't be too hard on them. Because every now and then I too have looked over and kept going, looked in and went the other way. But the devil is a lie. I don't want to stay that way. Want to do better. Can do better. Empowered to do better. Jesus was always concerned about wounded folk. Folk that were struggling. Folks that were dealing with difficult dilemmas and situations in their life. He never just ignored them. There's a word the Bible says, and the crowd thronged Jesus. They were almost pressing him. They wanted to get close to him. You say because it was miracles. No, that's not all of it. I mean, he kept telling folks, don't tell nobody I did this. That wasn't it. You know what? Jesus got into the skin of people who were struggling. They were important to him. He did not just ignore them like they weren't there. He saw them. The Levite and the priest saw through him. They didn't even think about the wounded man. The crowd thronged Jesus. Jesus went with him, and the crowd thronged him. Mark 5:24, Luke 8:42. But he only had one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. People just wanted to be around him because he cared about people. And maybe the underlying message is for us that when people see us coming, they know that we care about people. Isn't it interesting that so many people know what Christians don't like? Isn't that something? Don't like same sex. And I'm not saying that any of this is right. I'm just simply saying we've done such a poor job in representing the master that some folks know more of what we don't like instead of what we do like and what we are for. Something is wrong with that narrative. They ought to see you come and say, man, them Christians, I don't know what it is, but I just love, look, they ain't got it all together either. They jacked up as I am, but they trying to get better. I can hang with that group. They're not condescending, patronizing, acting holier than thou. They about as jacked up as all of us. And guess what? I'm in that crowd too. Amen. And so are you. We still rough around some edges. We still got some work to do. He's still forming us and shaping us and making us look more like him. But what if folks really begin to know more about what we are for as a body of believers instead of what we don't like? Hard to win folk if all you're doing is talking about condemnation and hell. You headed to hell anyway. Yeah, well, that may be true. But I need you to help keep me from those flames if you can. Thank you very much. So here it is. Radical love slows down long enough to see the wounded and prepared to do something about it. In other words, you go from sympathy to empathy. Now, I see it, and it's too bad. But empathy says, yeah, I see it, that's too bad, and I'm going to do what I can to help you get up from under what you are dealing with. That's when Christians began to get the attention of folk. Okay, during the Roman era, the Christian church began to grow exponentially. I mean, it was just exploding. And then the plagues came in the second century. And what happened, all of the doctors left. They got the heck out of Dodge. The only folks left were Christians who were caring for those who were sick and dying. As a matter of fact, there were many Christians who died during that process. And pagans looked at that and said, if they're willing to die and care for us, maybe there's something to this faith. Maybe there's something to this Jesus. You see, folks not impressed with how much Bible knowledge you got. They really aren't. At the end of the day, we don't win people say, man, That boy know them books, all 66. He can give you all three. Nobody being won to Christ through your head knowledge. It is through your heart. That is what moves man's heart, your heart. And when they see a heart of love, a heart of compassion, guess what? They maybe want to follow your Jesus. Because if it worked for you, it just might work for me. In that first chapter of Mark, Jesus' ministry was being inaugurated, and Jesus was just demonic. Folks were being chasing out demons and folks being healed because Jesus was others-centered. That's all I'm saying. So here's the thing. Repent and ask God to forgive you for being so self-centered. Yep. Lord, I repent. You're right. I have made it all about me. What I have, my schedule, what I'm doing, it has been all about me, and you're like maybe a close eighth. So repent. You know what you're doing with your time. You know what skills you have, gifting you have to be able to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And you're sitting on your gift, sitting on your praise. Repent. Yeah, Lord, I'm coming clean. I really have not given you the first place in your life, in my life, as you deserve. I'm on the throne, and now I want to be dethroned and put you where you belong. Nothing wrong with repenting. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. I got to acknowledge that, yeah, I haven't been doing right by you. Hitting and missing, dipping and dabbing, coming when I feel like it, tipping the plate. My prayer doing that would be, Lord, color my eyes with sensitivity that I may see those close to me that are hurting. Lord, I need you to do it, Lord, because I can. You see what I do, Lord. I go after what I want. I let my eyes have their way. But I need you to color my eyes with that sensitivity. The litmus test of our love for Christ is not so much found in what we say. He's going to be looking at Matthew 25, when I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was in prison, did you come see about me? When he wants to know what we did with those things as benchmarks as to our love for him. Yeah, you love me, but what did you do with it? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was hungry, did you give me bread? Open my eyes, Lord. Help me not ignore the wounded that I see. Let me start with those closest to me and reach out to them and begin to demonstrate and show what the love of Christ looks like in my life. No one looking for perfection. But they are looking for progress. Nobody got it all together. But you know, you should be making some progress from last year as you step into 2020. It ought not be the same, should it? Scripture says, let your growth be known and seen by all. Okay, the second thing is this. Boldly show your love toward others. Verse 33 says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, the wounded man, and when he saw him, he had compassion. The Samaritan showed love and compassion to a wounded man when others left him for dead. And you know the deal. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. They did not see eye to eye on anything. But the fact that this man would pull away and help this Jewish traveler was interesting. That did not matter to him. He saw someone wounded, broken and distressful, and he decided that he would do something to help him. Race didn't matter. Social class didn't matter. His educational pedigree did not matter. His zip code did not matter. His annual budget did not matter. His title, none of that mattered. The only thing he saw was someone broken and needing assistance, and he decided to boldly step forward and give assistance. He had compassion. That word compassion, there's one rendering, one shade of meaning that means a punch in the gut. When I see that, what is it that so bothers you that when you see it, it's like a punch in your stomach? Compassion. I'm just pleading with you. Don't be afraid to show your love towards someone who is broken, someone who is wounded. John 13, 14, it was Jesus' last instruction to his disciples. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. In other words, we're supposed to give this thing called love away. And what I like about God is he's never runs out. He's never has a shortage of giving you what we need to be able to love like he loved. Compassion. That's what this man showed. That's what Casey Spellman showed to Yusef Dale. Compassion. Others walked by, did not have time. But she paused long enough that she saw him and it hurt, and she approached him. Listen, some folks are not always going to approach you. Text says the Samaritan went to him. In other words, sometimes I have to meet people where they are. As messed up as we all are, I gotta meet them with my messed up self and try to give them what I know about Jesus and hope that my walk is such that it's authentic. And they say, well, you know what? I think I can get with you, Jesus. I've seen some things in you. But it's something about that boldness of not being afraid to demonstrate compassion to some. Okay, Karen and Brittany were at one of the supermarkets, and they were in line waiting to check out. And there was a man in front of them, an older gentleman, who had a credit card, and he was having some real challenges with this credit card, trying to operate it and debit credit. That was kind of, somebody just gave him a card and said, go get this. Go to the market. He went. So the Karen and Brittany and one of the checkout lady, all of them were kind of like team meeting this man to get this purchase done. Because, you know, saints get rough when you that line back up. You know, they start complaining. Yeah, poor management around. You see this line running? But they didn't care because this man needed help. They paused. They pulled away. And they finally helped him do what he had to do. And he went outside and he caught them. He said, hey, wait. He said, listen, I want to thank you for helping me. Because, see, I've been away for 30-odd years. I've been in prison. And when I did it, they did it the old-fashioned way. You know. He said, but this is different. And I appreciate you because you took time. You took time to help me when nobody else was. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. to show the love of Christ. It doesn't have to be big, but it can be something small. It's helping someone get their food and put it in their car and be on their way. Jesus was always moved when he saw people hurting. That's the kind of love that Christ wants us to be able to demonstrate. Let me ask you this. With whom do you feel most comfortable with? It may be seniors. It may be teenagers. It may be athletes. It may be business people. You're energized simply because you are with that group. You don't even understand it yourself, but you are hardwired in such a way where they really, that's your sweet spot. You just love hanging around that particular group. You're encouraged by them. They give you hope, whatever it is. Identified. See how you can attach yourself to that which makes you feel most comfortable. And you might be able to demonstrate some of Christ's love to them. Who do you feel most compassionate about? Returning citizens from prison? Individuals dealing with substance abuse? Find that group, that individual that gives you a sense of compassion. Find that what grieves you, that makes you mad, angry, upset when you see it. And you want to commit, figure out some way in which you can do it. Maybe even here in the church house. Some folks may not like working with the children or teaching in school church, but maybe you want to be part of the food ministry. You see what I'm saying? Be sensitive to how God has wired you and what really makes you have compassion for something. And then begin to move in that area. Showing our love toward others may cost you. Verse 34, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will pay you. Showing the love of Christ can cost you. Don't let that make you feel that you don't want to do it, just as it's going to cost you something. But he teaches us a few things here. First of all, it cost him his schedule. Notice how the text said, on the next day. Now, notice before that, he had to bandage his wounds with oil and wine. So this man had no clothes, so he had to try to find some clothing for him. His raiment was gone. In other words, that took some effort, some sweat equity on the part of this man to help this person who was wounded. When we start engaging ourselves in the lives of others, beloved, it may cost you. It may cost you some time. It may cost you some finances. Look what else he had to do. He went in his pocket, pulled out some money and put it on the counter and told the innkeeper, take care of him. And as you take care of him, if you run into any added expense, let me know what it is. And when I come your way again, I will help you. Something else you want to notice. Notice how he was able to solicit the assistance of the innkeeper. Now he didn't pull in somebody else to help this wounded man. Now the innkeeper said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You don't know what I got going on. Now you want me to help care for him? See, when you really want to do something, you do whatever you can to provide assistance to someone who may be needy. So So he was able to pull someone else in this situation to help him. Nothing's wrong with asking for help as you are trying to help someone get someplace. You don't have to do it all by yourself. He brought in the innkeeper. Casey went to Yusef. She didn't know. She was very polite. She said, "Look like you can use some help." She didn't assume. She wasn't rough around the edges. She didn't say, "Man, get over there. You're about to get hit." No. She approached him with dignity, with respect, and said, "How can I help you?" We have to have a made-up mind when we see wounded folks, that loved ones, church member, fam, whatever, that I'm going to stick and stay with them. And that's what agape love does, see. Agape love does not know anything about, "Well, I done gave you 3 chances and that's it, we're done." Because you know some of us like that. Oh yeah, come on, shame the devil. Look, because we like, "Well, look, I done spent $400 on them or her, and you know, they're not doing right. It'll be a cold day in hell before they get anything else from me." I know y'all don't talk like that here, but I'm just simply saying that you know, you reach limits. Listen, agape love just keeps giving and does not look for anything in return, regardless of what the cost might be. But it may cost you. It may cost you friendships. It may cost you friends. It may cost you any number of things. Time, money, energy, sweat equity, whatever. But I gotta, the text says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." He is glorified when you and I pull away and provide assistance to someone. It wasn't me, because if it was me, I would have been gone, but it's him. It really is him. He's the reason that I'm here. He's the reason that I'm loving you. He's the reason that I'm giving. He's the reason. It's him. I'm retired now. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah, God be praised. I ain't mad at nobody. I ain't got to log in no more. I don't get no budgets, none of that stuff, all gone. But I say that for this. I'm now at a place where I'm able to help some folk that I could not do before because of my 9-to-5, okay? So there's a brother, I've known him for over 40 years, preacher friend of mine. He had surgery on his reconstructive surgery. His arm, he does not have the dexterity of his hands like he used to. Self-made man, brilliant brother. You give him a nail and a ruler, he'd build just about anything. Preacher the gospel, but now he's not able to zipper his pants, tie a shoe. You know, things that we routinely take for granted, do we just jump out the bed and start getting dressed? It's now a struggle for him. Love this brother, know him, brother beloved. So now the Lord has so arranged it where if he has to go to therapy or I just get together with him, love on him, I mean, that's the kind of thing. And if I have to go in my pocket, whatever, that's fine. But all I'm saying is it's about making yourself available to someone as they go through their season, because if life keep going as it is, I'm too going to have my season just like you. And I'm prayerful that someone going to be there. The one know if I want to, I don't know, General Soul Chicken. I mean, something. You know, someone who's going to be able to help me and be love on me and encourage me. And if you have to spend money, that's fine. But that's what changes the heart of man. I'm just simply doing what God has allowed me to be able to do. His wife sent me a wonderful little letter the other day. She said, "Thank you for turning your hand our way." I like that. I wasn't looking for nothing from them. But she just saying, "You are helping us. You're helping me as you help him." And I know he tells you that he's grateful, but I want you to know that I'm grateful. It may cost you some of your time. But God is glorified when he sees his people taking time to minister to someone else, regardless of how much it cost. I'm at a place now, beloved, where I really don't care about finances. And I'm not talking about being so tight that I got it like that. Listen, I just know who my daddy is. I do right by Papa. And when I do right by Papa, I've discovered something about Papa. Papa takes care of his children. He's never been delinquent in a payment. Child support ain't never been after him. He always takes care of his children. So when you know him like that, you can give whatever you need to give to be a blessing to someone else because you know Papa got your back. He's going to take care of his own. So don't worry about what you have to give out. Listen, it ain't yours anyway. I mean, really, everything belongs to him. You are a steward of what he gives you. Question is how you handling his money. That's another whole sermon. And I'm trying to get out of here and you're trying to get to the game. But you know, I often wonder about the testimony of Yusef Dale and this Good Samaritan, the victim. You know, if that were you and I, you know, I'd be like, man, guess what happened? You'd never believe what happened. I'm standing out there trying to get a cab. Nobody. I'm invisible, right? But then this little lady comes up and says, can I help you? And the next thing I know, I'm in a cab on my way home. Can you imagine the discussion of the man who was wounded? I was not at his testimony. I don't know if he was a church man, but he had to share that experience with someone. Someone had to say, man, what happened to you? And he went through this whole story about some Samaritan. Guess what? A Samaritan. No. Yes. A Samaritan came. And guess what he did? He took care of my wounds. He paid for the innkeeper to take care of me. He put me on his own mule. Man, I can't believe it. Okay, put yourself there. You were on your way to hell in the fast lane and enjoying the trip. But Jesus Christ saw you, rescued you. Now your name is written in the guest book of heaven. God is still showing his love toward us as we speak, taking care of us, providing for us, opening doors for us, forgiving us, loving us. I love what Paul, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor depth, nor height, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Is that good news to you? That nothing can separate us from his love. It does not matter what you face, what you go through. I'm forever loved by him. Bible declares that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He sent his only son. He only had one. To die for our sins. That's what 1 John tells us. He came to forgive us of our sins. First John also tells us that he defeated the work of the devil. And he also tells us he came that he might show us the Father's love. We are some kind of blessed to know a Savior who loves us unconditionally, regardless of how many times I don't get it right. He just keeps on loving me, keeps on forgiving me, keeps on making a way for me. That's why I can't help but praise him. See, I got a small cup, and I know where he brought me from. I never get so proud and mighty and arrogant that I forget where I am and who brought me there. It was nothing but the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't never been that good. Don't deserve it. But God loves me in spite of me and keeps opening doors in spite of me, keeps loving me. That's why I can't help but worship him. That's why I have a hard time sitting down when we start praising and worshiping God, because I'm just looking at what God has done. I'm just looking at what he is doing and what he is yet to do. Show some radical love to some people. Blow their mind. My God, what has come over him? He used to didn't act like that. What's come over her? I can't explain. I don't know. Let them see that kind of love. And keep pointing to Jesus. Baby, it wasn't me. Because you know what I'd do with you if it was me. It ain't nothing but the Christ in me. Because see, I'd have a word or two for you. But you didn't mess, I done messed around and got saved and have a relationship with Jesus. I'm learning that I can tolerate a lot of your foolishness that I used to didn't. And you know, God, I don't know where I'm getting the strength from. I wish I could tell you. I just know it's God's grace that is keeping me. Let me see what this thing say. Yeah, it's about that time. Okay, Father, let's pray. Father, we do bless your name. We are so delighted that you love us, that you sent heaven's best to redeem us. We're so wretched, nasty, and filthy, but you keep loving us nonetheless. And we rejoice in knowing that you are a God of forgiveness, a God of another chance. And we just thank you for sending Jesus Christ, that he put on flesh and was in a manger. But we're grateful that he grew up, went to Calvary's cross for our sins, that he died for our sins, that we might be redeemed. Lord, I pray for that person here today who is not sure. I pray that you would just prick their hearts. I pray that they would run asking, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we love you, and we thank you for Jesus. Amen.